going to be talking about hope. Hope is one of our subjects that we're studying on our in our series this year of great Bible doctrines. And so we're doing faith, hope, and love. Those are three of the months that we're going to have topics on. And Brother Matt has already done faith, and so I'm doing hope. And then, Matt, I believe you're doing love next, right? I think that's right, if I remember correctly. So, you know, it was announced about Sister Adams, Emma Lucy. I got to see her last week, and she was in real good spirits. It was good seeing her. I appreciate the Adams family so much. Matter of fact, Saturday, when I got my paper, I happened to notice there was an article. We had a picture of Randy Adams, who's the current principal at Athens Bible School, and got to see him. I talked about some of his works that he has done there. But on the opposite side, there was another picture. There was a picture of one of our members. And this member was kissing a pig. And Matt, all I got to say is you're a great sport. I'll tell you what. You're just, Matt is so awesome. And I guess your students voted that you were the one, right? So you won. So we have one preacher here who loves to eat pork, and we have another preacher who loves to kiss pork. So I guess hope falls in there somewhere, right? So we're going to be talking about hope. There are misunderstandings about hope today, and some people use the term hope in such a casual way. They may say, well, I hope to do this or that. I hope to have pizza for dinner. I hope to be able to have popcorn later on. Now, that's kind of a casual way. That's not thinking about it in the Bible sense of the term. In the Bible sense of the term, hope is a far deeper meaning and really means a lot to us as a Christian today. A hopeless perspective can be harmful. Just this past week, I had a student rush into my office and she said, Mr. Watts, I need to talk to you. And she told me about her friend. She was really concerned about her friend because her friend was talking about suicide. So I brought her friend into my office. I said, what's going on? And she explained to me about her AP French course, how her grades are going down the drain. So I brought up her transcript and her grades, and they were what I thought. She's a straight A student. Many of her courses, she has over 100. And she even had an A in this course. And I said, well, you have an A. You're making an A. What's the problem? Well, I'm just afraid I'm not going to be able to keep it up that high. I want you to see that this girl who has never made a B in her life, who is one of the most outstanding seniors that I have, she was literally talking about suicide because she lost that aspect of hope in that class. Well, I was able to talk her down and went and talked to the teacher and we worked out some things. But I want you to see then how important hope is for everyone, not only the child of God, but also for everyone. Christians recognize the importance of hope. This term, elpis, is defined as a favorable and confident expectation. It has to do with the unseen future, the happy anticipation of good. In psychology today, a medical doctor, Dale Archer, he said about hope, the power of hope is often the only thing between man and the abyss. As long as a patient, individual, a victim has hope, they can recover from anything and everything. I think that's an amazing statement. A medical doctor says it's not the surgery. It's not necessarily the medication. But one thing that he attributes that a person can recover from, just about anything and everything, is this aspect that you and I know as hope. For the child of God, we know it's crucial in our spiritual life. And make sure that we go forward. And as I have listed on the yellow sheet, it propels us on. Our text passage then is found over in Hebrews 10 and 13. And Hebrews 10 and 13, the writer could say, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And the reason why I chose this as our text passage is because I wanted you to see that really our hope is not predicated on the fact of what you and I do, but it's predicated on the fact of what God has done, what he is currently doing, and what he's going to do in the future. For he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. He gives us that hope because we know that when we practice and do his will, he has made guarantees to the child of God that there would be certain outcomes. And because of that, you and I have hope. You know, I have many passages listed on your yellow sheet, your spiritual study guide. There, the book of Psalms, which talk about having hope in the Lord. And we're just going to look at a couple of them. We're not going to look at that entire list. But come over here to the 33rd Psalm. Psalm 33. And verse 22, and many of these passages read very similar to this. It said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. I'm not in verse 22, I'm in verse 12. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Now look at 38:15, just to give you another example. 38:15. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. And many of these psalms read the same way. It's in you, God, that I have my hope. And that's why I tried to emphasize in our text passage that we have hope, an unwavering hope we should have, because God has made promises. It's not in your ability, it's not in Bob's ability that I have hope. I have hope in God's ability. Look over here in Lamentation chapter 3 and in verse 24. Lamentation 3:24. Here Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, said, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." And it's just like Jeremiah exclaimed, "Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." And so I want to start off by emphasizing, when we talk about the subject of hope, the reason why we can have a hope is because of God himself. What he has done in the past, what he is presently doing for us, and what he has guaranteed that he will do in the future. And I want to say the reason why I refer to this as a reasonable hope, and we use that expression, reasonable. It's not a matter of saying, "Oh, that sounds reasonable." No, it's a matter of, it's a reason, it is an intellectual, it's a thought. We think about it, we can think about it, we can point to it, we can see the evidence of it. And so that's why then it's a reasonable hope, it's reasoned out in our minds. Our hope, your hope, is not some willy-nilly type of thing. It's because you think about what God has done before, what he's currently doing, and what he's going to do in the future. So I want to take the rest of our time then to discuss this reasonable hope. And I point out then that a Christian's reasonable hope is built on the past. We have to understand God's track record, so to speak. Christians know that we can have hope in the Word of God, which reveals to us what He has done in times past. Still in the Psalm, and this time in Psalm 119, and we know the entirety of Psalm 119 deals with God's Word. So in Psalm 119, and just give you an example, in verse 43, we see, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances." That's God's word. Verse 49, "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope." Look at verse 74, same opening, Psalm 119. "Those who fear you will be glad because they see me, because I have hoped in your word." And in verse 116, Psalm 119, 116. "Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." And in verse 147 here, "I rise before the dawning of the morning. I cry for help. I hope in your word." And just to repeat that, we could come to the 130th chapter, Psalm 130, and in verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. What is there in God's word that provides hope? Well, there are examples then of stories and recorded historical instances in which God, dealing in those events, have provided hope. I.e., for example, Abraham. In the case of Abraham. Abraham being very old, and he was told that he was going to be a father of many nations, or of a great nation. In Romans chapter 4 then, at the beginning we see that Abraham by faith believed that it was counted to him for righteousness. "What then shall we say," Romans 4 verse 1, "that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. And what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." Now, with Abraham being in advanced age, and also his wife Sarah being of advanced age, and told they were going to have a child, this seemed incredible. But I want to tell you that Abraham believed in the spoken word of God. He had hope. Even though worldly science would say at that age, you cannot have a child. You should not have hope. Abraham believed the spoken word of God, and that spoken word of God provided him hope. Look later on in verse 13 of the same opening, Romans 4. "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression." Let's go on down to verse 17. "As is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." There's the spoken word of God. "Who contrary to hope," that hope there is man's hope, "in hope, believe." That's God's hope. Contrary to the hope that man would give, man would say no. "In hope, Abraham believed." That's in God's hope, he believed. "So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." Now, I want to ask you something. We talked about our hope, part of which is established on the fact of the past things God has done. When you read the story of Abraham being told that he was going to be a father of a great nation at 100 years old, when all science, all of worldly wisdom, man's wisdom, would say you cannot have it, yet God said you can, does that not provide a sense of hope for you? Then when God says something's going to happen, it will happen. You could be assured of it. You could write it down. That's what we're talking about when we say the past events then. It gives us hope even yet today. Why were those Old Testament stories written? Look over to the 15th chapter in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4. And whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Those things that were written before, they were written so we could learn them, and that provides us hope today. Even what Isaiah wrote later on in chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, he points to Isaiah. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Isaiah then, writing by inspiration, about the son of Jesse, about David, and how Messiah was going to come through him, that is Jesus. That provides us hope even yet today. Do you see why I say that those things recorded in the past helps provide an intellectual, a reasoned hope? There's a reason for our hope because of those things that are recorded and that happened in the past. But God is not just a God of the past. God is the God of the present also. And so when we think about the present today, we see then how God then can make a difference in our life. Our Christian hope sustains us. If there was ever a bleak time then in Jewish history, it has to be during the days of Jeremiah. Prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, essentially, you know, God's people were cut out. But I want you to see, over in Jeremiah 31 and 17, we have a great verse in regards to hope. And Jeremiah 31 and verse 17, there is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. In other words, Jeremiah says, you're not always going to be away in captivity. There is hope in your future. And I want us to understand that without hope in our lives, you and I would indeed see a bleak future. You know, at the beginning of every college football season, and it's beautiful. College football opening up is beautiful. I know many of you feel the same way. I always like watching the movie Rudy. Rudy's one of my favorite movies. And it's about a kid who ends up at the University of Notre Dame and plays football. But before that, he's working at a steel mill, and his best friend Pete buys him a Leatherman jacket, a University of Notre Dame Leatherman jacket. And he gives it to his friend. They're at lunchtime on break. He gives it to his friend at the steel factory. And Rudy says to Pete, he says, you are the only one who has ever took my dreams seriously. And Pete said, my father told me that dreams are what makes life tolerable. Boy, that's a great line. So we don't talk necessarily about dreams. We call it hope. And hope for a child of God makes the present tolerable. Actually, it makes it great. We have hope in God's mercy. Yet, even today, we have hope in God's mercy. Psalm 147 and in verse 11. Psalm 147 and in verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Don't we all hope in God's mercy? If we're a sinner, we're going to hope in God's mercy. We also understand from Scripture that the Christian love described in 1 Corinthians 13 that we're talking about in our Bible class this morning, that Christian love, one of the main components then, in verse 7, we see that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Hopes all things. That Christian love that is in your heart, it believes that the future is going to be better than the past. The present is better than the past. We currently have a hope of the gospel. Look what Paul could write over the book of Colossians, this time chapter 1 and verse 5. Colossians 1 and in verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before, and the word of the truth of the gospel. And then later on in verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is all about hope. It's all about the washing away of our sins. It's all about the future hope of the eternal abode with God. Let me tell you about this hope. Romans 5 and verse 5. Paul could write that this hope will not disappoint. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. And that's why when we deal with others, we give them an answer or a reason for the hope that lies within us with meekness and in fear. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And what this hope does for us in the present is it anchors us. It makes us grounded. It helps define who we are and what we're about. Notice how the Hebrew writer put it in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 11 when he talked about how that hope, that grounding is like an anchor for the soul. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 11. Here the writer could say, he talks about how our faith is that anchor for the soul. And I think I get that wrong. But look over here at verses 17 and down through verse 19. This God determined to show his more immutability in the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Here it is, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. So, when we talk about what is God doing for us in the present, as it relates to hope, that hope provides you an anchor. It moors you against the pounding waves of this life. That hope says that I'm going to continue on day by day as a child of God. That today I will live like a Christian in the present. Now we talked about the past. We've talked about the present. But I also want to talk about the future. Because hope gives us an anticipation for the future. It provides a great salvation for God's children. Here over, once again, we're returning back to the book of Romans. This time, Romans chapter 8, 24 and 25. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. What do we do not see? We do not see heaven. But every child of God in this room, you have a hope of heaven. What tells you that it's there? Well, your faith tells you that it's there, but it provides that great hope. Brethren, there is an eternal abode. There is a heavenly home that waits a faithful child of God. Over in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of what you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? And furthermore, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul throughout the book of Acts, I'm not going to read these passages, but you look at them at your own time. But in these passages in the book of Acts, he says, I'm on defense for the resurrection of Jesus that was resurrected. Look over there in the book of Acts and see those passages. But over here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of what? The hope of salvation. There is salvation there. And because we have this great hope, I want to tell you, it influences our life so very much. The child of God sees something totally different. The child of God views the prospect of their probably impending death totally different than the non-Christian would view it. Look over here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How does the child of God view death because they have hope? Start reading with me in verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead of Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to tell you, because of the reasonable hope that we as a child of God have, because we look to the past, we see what God has done. We know what's going on today. We see the present. And we have total faith and confidence in the future. And that's why, even at the most critical hour, when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we view that moment differently than those who have no hope. All through your life, God's hope can sustain you and take care of you right up to the point where you draw your last breath. Praise God for the hope He has given. There may be someone here this morning that you need to tap into this hope. We want to give you the opportunity. You could obey the gospel and become a Christian. Or if you're a child of God and there's something you need to do to get your life right, we want to invite you to do it now as we stand and sing the song Brother Pat will lead us in.